Hello and welcome to Stats with Sam, a 30-minute baseball statistics broadcast here coming to you live from RMU Radio. So yes, all you lovely people get to listen to me talk about baseball for 30 minutes because they gave me the time in the studio. So we're going to go through, talk about some teams, kind of look at why they were good, why they were bad, players that are great, and really what can make these teams either continue to be successful or what would make them successful in the future. So there are a lot of teams to choose from, and the team that I chose to start with was the Philadelphia Phillies. So we're going to go through, we're going to look at everything involving the Philadelphia Phillies, looking at contract situations and their wins above replacement, some notable players, and really why they have continued to be a team that struggles. So let's start off with the team record. The Philadelphia Phillies last year finished fourth in the National League East with a record of 71-91. Now, for the Phillies, who have traditionally struggled in the past 5 years, really since their World Series run back in 2008 and 2009, it was an improvement. They were projected statistically with their runs scored and their runs allowed to finish 62-100. Instead, they finished 71-91. So 9 wins above what's projected is typically a good season. But still, once again, they sat at the bottom of the NL East and nowhere near playoff contention, despite what some Phillies fans may try to tell you. Now, here's the puzzle with the Philadelphia Phillies, because they have a good-sized payroll. They have $107 million payroll this season, and yet they still continue to lose. A lot of that stemmed from their contract with Ryan Howard, which is considered one of the worst contracts in pro baseball history. And seeing that he's now gone from the Philadelphia Phillies, there is a lot of potential for this season. But still, a lot of big contracts kind of weighing down that team. The two notable ones would be Jeremy Hellickson, pitcher, who some of you may know him back when he was pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. Nowadays, he's here with the Phillies, and they're paying him about $17.2 million to be a very okay pitcher. He's 29 years old. He had an ERA of 3.71 last year. He pitched 189 innings. That's a lot. He did a lot for that team. But just a very average player for that $17 million salary. And the other guy who's going to be weighing down that payroll next year is Clay Buchholz, who the Phillies recently traded for. Very interesting, because they're a team that many consider to still be rebuilding, but that was a move for a team that almost was looking for a little bit of life, a team that wasn't 71-91 last year, a team rather that was maybe an 80-win team looking for that piece that's going to get them into that 85-90 win range and become a playoff team. But looking at that move was very puzzling. Now, both those guys will be free agents next season, so after the 2017 season. So the question is this a win now, or was this a, you know, just kind of trade some guys away, get Buchholz so that you can start off 2018 season with both these guys off of your payroll? Because they're guys that, while they've contributed to this team, they've contributed in a way that still makes the Philadelphia Phillies statistically one of the worst teams in baseball. So, you know, let's start off here by looking at some of their stats. And we have their total wins above replacement was negative 16, which tied for the worst in Major League Baseball along with the Minnesota Twins. So not a good number, not a good number for them. Their batting stats do not get much better. They come in with a 301 on base percentage, which is second to last in Major League Baseball. They scored an average of 3.7 runs per game, which if you don't even like baseball, you're not going to want to watch Phillies baseball, because you're lucky if they score 3 runs. which puts them in last in Major League Baseball. They have a .384 slugging percentage, which has them second to last in the league. They had the seventh most strikeouts in baseball this season with 1,376 strikeouts. They had the second fewest amount of walks. So in the Billy Bean, in the terms of Moneyball, he's not happy with the way that this team's operating. They don't hit the ball well, and they don't even get on base well. Their one bright spot for hitting this season was they had the fifth most triples in the league, which to me is more of a commentary on their speed rather than their actual ability to hit the ball. It just means they got some young guys who are fast. And that is a lot of where the potential of the Phillies is in their youth, but we'll talk about that later when we get into more of the player breakdown. We're going to look next to the pitching. Phillies also had very poor pitching. They did have some bright spots. They had the fourth most shutouts this past season in Major League Baseball with 12, which that's going to get you a win every time if you can shut them out. But when it comes down to the grand scheme of their overall ability to pitch, was not good. They had a 3.63 team ERA, which was 26th in baseball. They allowed about 4.9 runs per game, 26th in baseball. So compare that with the 3.77 runs per game that they score. Not good. And then you have 213 home runs allowed. So not only were they getting hit off of, but they were taking them out of the park. And you can look into stuff like park factor and ask questions on whether, you know, there were other factors that were involved in them allowing so many home runs. But when you're 27th in the league, it's bad no matter how you look at it. Their FIP, which looks at more of the actual ability of the pitcher, taking into account the defense, because that is something they struggle at too. They still have a 4.34 FIP. So, it's not very impressive. That's 21st in Major League Baseball in that. They have 466 walks they let up, which was the 11th fewest in baseball, which makes them pretty average. They're right around the league average. And once again, 12 shutouts was the highlight there. But there's the question, ERA, an imperfect statistic. Was there maybe some defense around them that was struggling a little bit? And the answer to that is yes, because the Phillies had a 68.1% defensive efficiency rating as rated by baseballreference.com, which puts them 23rd in baseball. So very poor on defense, pitchers not getting a lot of support. Their fielding percentage was a 98.4%. And that's really relative to the way that fielding percentage shifts, because there's not a lot of difference there. It puts them, even though it's at 19th, it does put them more towards the middle of the pack, so I consider that average. Now, meanwhile, their defensive runs saved above average was negative 29. So their defense ended up costing their team ended up costing them 29 runs. And in the grand scheme, that's about 3 wins. So that's a team that, if they had a better defense, would have a 74-win team last year, which isn't better, but, I mean, it's an improvement, but it's still not a playoff team. And finally, a little bit of glimmer of hope in their base running is they had 51 outs on base, which means how many mistakes were made not from getting caught stealing, but rather trying to take the extra base and getting forced out. And 51 was one of the fewest in baseball, which means that the way they're running the bases is very efficient. They're doing it the right way. They're making the right calls to run those extra bases, which is very telling considering the fact that they had 35 triples, because that means that they weren't having a lot of guys that were getting thrown out trying to stretch triples, which to me is a very good sign. What is very alarming is their 68% stolen base rate, which is 22nd in Major League Baseball. So they had guys getting thrown out 3 of the 10 times they would try to run, which isn't going to win you games. But that right there, in a nutshell, is the Philadelphia Phillies. So now that we've looked at the team, you can see that from all facets of the game, they need a lot of help. They need help starting pitching. They need help bullpen. They need help hitting the ball. I could go all day talking about that, but we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look more into the players and what's going to be what's going to really which players are going to help them and which players they need to get rid of. All coming up on Stats with Sam. So don't go away. All right, and welcome back here with Stats with Sam. Once again, you get to listen to me talk about baseball. Get excited because we have a lot more left to go. So, what we talked about before was the fact that there's no part of the Philadelphia Phillies which was very salvageable. Overall, statistically, they were tied for the worst team in baseball. The amount of runs they produced was poor. The amount of runs they let up was poor. Their defense was poor. Their base running was okay, but still pretty poor. So now let's take a look at kind of like, you know, the nuts and bolts of this team. What players were helping them? Who were their best players? So baseballreference.com lists the top 12 players by their wins above replacement in 2016. So these are statistically the best players, the players that performed above average. So typically a range of WAR is if you're above an 8, you're an MVP level player. If you're above a 5, you're an all-star. If you're above a 2, you're a consistent starter. And anywhere below that, a 0 is about average. So anything above average is good. So, of course, very telling about the Phillies, their best player, Odubel Herrera, in center field, with a 4.2 WAR. So he's not even really considered a consistent – he's not an all-star. He's a consistent starter. He is an impact guy when he, you know, has his moments. But for the most part, just very, very okay. So, but he's somebody you want to keep an eye on because he's only 23 years old. And his batting line went .286 average batting average, .361 on base, and .420 slugging. So average was above the league average on base percentage, was also above the league average. Slugging percentage, well below it. He's not necessarily a power guy, so that's okay. Where he really comes in strong is on defense. He had a 2.47 range factor as an outfielder, which just is a statistic used to measure the amount of ground you can cover in the outfield. So is this a guy that is going to be able to, you know, catch any ground ball is hit his way? And the answer is yes. He's the third best in the National League, which has him as one of the top 10 outfielders in the league, considering the fact that he only committed 9 errors, which was the fewest in the National League. So not only is he getting to a lot of balls, but he's not dropping them, which is exactly what you want from a guy. He's young. He's got that potential. He was 16 for 24 in stolen bases in 2016. So it's good. He's running the bases a lot. But that also goes back to the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies have a really hard time stealing bases. Because if you're going to be 66% successful, that's not good. You might as well not steal at all. Because overall, you're costing your team more runs than you're earning them. And that's where you see Herrera's WAR dip. So maybe if we didn't see him steal as much next year, if the Phillies were smarter about it, he'd be a guy who could be a really big impact player because he gets on base. And if he can stay on base and not get thrown out, he's going to score. So he's their top player. Number two goes down to pitcher Jared Eichhoff. He had a 3.4 wins above replacement as the 26-year-old pitcher who has really shown a lot of potential also for the Phillies. It's good they have these young guys up here that are producing the most for this team because these are guys that are going to be with the team for a long time and hopefully be with them as they continue their rebuild here. So let's go into some of the statistics for him. He sits with a 3.65 ERA, so pretty good. Not overwhelming stats, but he's also a young guy who's still growing. He had a 4.19 FIP, so once again, but still below the average that the Phillies have produced. So you're talking more towards the middle of the league, which is what you want to see from a developing pitcher. He pitched 197.1 innings, which was the most of anybody from Philly. So that's good. He's getting a lot of innings, and so clearly he has that longevity. He's a starter. He's a guy that, if he continues to pitch well, can be a consistent 6-7 inning guy. Start to see some complete games from him. The thing that alarms me, and this alarms me about a lot of the pitchers in Philadelphia, and this is something that I'm a big proponent in, is the ground ball to fly ball ratio. And typically, this is why you see the Phillies let up a lot of home runs, is because most of the time their pitchers let up fly balls. And so because of that, you see a lot more home runs. And the ground ball to fast fly ball ratio is 0.71. Now, the league average is 0.84. And for me, a good team is going to have above average ground ball to fly ball ratio because that is going to prevent home runs, which in the long run is going to limit scoring. So it starts off with that. And because of that, you can tell in his home runs per 9 innings, he lets up 1.4 home runs. So in those 197.1 innings pitched, if he's pitching a full game, he's going to let up a home run. That's basically what the numbers are telling. So not good, because for a team that had a lot of shutouts, you're still letting up a lot of big flies. So if they could see a trend, which it has been trending for him, if they could see the trend continue to increase in the ground ball to fly ball ratio, that would be very beneficial for the Phillies. Going down to number three, Cesar Hernandez, 3.3 wins above replacement. He can play second base or third. He's a 26-year-old, so he's also very young. His slash line, great, 294 average, 371 on base, 393 slugging. But he's a second baseman, third baseman, not a power guy. Once again, the story is the same as it was for Herrera. He was 17 for 30 on stolen bases this year. He can clearly steal. He clearly has speed, but he gets thrown out too much. And it's costing his team. So the Phillies need to cut out the stealing or do it more efficiently. Looking at his fielding, he's got a 98.1 fielding percentage at second base, which is okay. It's not great, but for a second baseman, that's fine. And a 93.3% fielding percentage at third base. The Phillies should not play him at third base, because clearly, if 7% of the time he's going to make an error, you don't want that guy at third base on a major league team that you want to make the playoffs. Which shows in the amount of errors he had. He had 12 errors last year, which was the third most in the National League, which is opposite of Herrera. So clearly, it's something that he needs to change if he wants to see himself continue to be a top player here in Philadelphia. Going on to player number four is Jeremy Hellickson with a 3.1 WAR. We're going to fly through these now. He's a 29-year-old pitcher. Last year, he had a 3.71 ERA. We talked about him. $17 million salary. Let's talk more about him and the fact that he has this 0.71 ground ball to fastball ratio. Once again, he lets up about 1.1 home runs per nine inning. Once again, getting home runs, at least a home run every time he comes up. With those 189 innings pitched, you see a lot of home runs. They have to get that ground ball rate up if they want to see that limited, and you'll see his ERA and his FIP drop along with it. So, number five, Hector Neris. He has a 2.0 wins above replacement. He's a relief pitcher, 27 years old. Once again, we haven't reached a guy who's above 30 yet in this top five, and that's what you want to see. These are guys that can stick around for a little bit. Hellickson, maybe not as much, but he's also a guy that they're probably going to want to get rid of with that salary. But with Neris, he had a 2.58 ERA in 79 games pitched. That's really good. He's a guy you can put in there. Looks like he's going to be like a set-up eighth-inning guy because he pitches about an inning every time he comes in. Once again, though, trend with the Phillies. He allows one home run per nine innings, and he's a 0.76 ground ball to fastball ratio. Can't emphasize this enough. His ERA is good, but it could be better if he forced more ground balls, and that comes with the way he's going to pitch more inside. If he can develop a two-seamer, that would be nice, but once again, it's all with what the Phillies coaching staff can do with these young pitchers. But Neris is definitely a piece that you can continue to invest on that team. Vince Velasquez with a 1.9 wins above replacement. He's 24 years old. His ERA, though, not as good. A 4.12 ERA. His FIP, though, this says a lot about the defense he's had around him, is only at 3.96, so it's lower than the ERA, which says the defense is really not helping him out, which is why his ERA is so high. But also, he has the lowest ground ball fastball rate of anyone on this list with a 0.55. He lets up 1.4 home runs per nine innings. Can't emphasize that enough. That's another reason his ERA is so high. Limit that. Carlos Ruiz was next on this list with a 1.5 wins above replacement. We won't really talk about him because he no longer plays for the Phillies. He is gone. So let's move on to Cameron Rupp, who is the catcher that is taking his place, essentially. He had a 1.3 wins above replacement. He's 28 years old. His average, 252, and his on-base, 303. Very average, very okay. His slugging percentage, phenomenal. A 447. 16 home runs. 3.8% of his at-bats result in home runs. The league average is 2.6. So he's almost hitting the ball out of the park twice as much as an average player. And from a catching standpoint, that's great. If you can have power from the catching position, if you can have average from the catcher's position, that's great because he's a guy that you're more worried about his fielding percentage, which, by the way, fielding percentage, 99.4. That's great. I'd love to have a guy who has a 99.4 fielding percentage, especially a catcher. That's a guy who really can help improve your pitchers. 28 years old, still got a couple good years under his belt. Definitely use him as a development piece, but the Phillies need to think that he's, as a catcher, his longevity is not as long. So, you know what I mean. So, start thinking about that right now. Very good piece for the Phillies. Keep an eye out for him to be improved this season. I like him in the long run. Moving on, Freddie Galvis, who actually just signed another one-year deal with the Phillies about 2-3 weeks ago. He is someone who his numbers aren't that good. So he's 27. He had a 241, 274, 399 slash. So he didn't hit for average. He didn't get on base a lot. He could kind of hit for power. He has a 98.7 fielding percentage, so not horrible, but not really that flashy either. He does the job at shortstop. He only gets an extra base hit 6.6% of the time. This is the guy who's going to hit a lot of singles. He's not going to do anything flashy for you, but clearly he's not even getting on base a lot. So overall, the 1.3 wins above replacement isn't very telling for him. It kind of goes on the fact that he's a very average player. So we'll move on to Michael Franco, who with a 1.2 wins above replacement is, he's got some potential. And it's very interesting because, so I mark these when I go through as, you know, average, bad, good, based on the slash. So we have a 255 average, which compared to the league average from where he played was okay. He was middle of the road. He did the job. His on base is 306, which was not good for his average, league average. But his slugging percentage was a 427, which was overwhelmingly better than the average of where he played. So, and he's a guy who had 25 home runs. And as a young guy, a key power hitter for the Phillies would be really helpful for a team that also didn't really hit a lot of long balls last year. They're looking for runs in any way they can get them. And if he's going to do that in the long ball, that's fine. He's still a liability in the field with a 96% fielding percentage. So he's got to get that in order. He's a young guy. There's nerves in there. And you're also in the National League where they can't just stick him in a designated hitter to be the power guy. He's got to come in there and he's got to make plays at third base. Wow, we almost only have 4 minutes left. And I still have so much to talk about. But David Hernandez, 0.9 WAR. Overall, some guys that are very okay. Alec Asher is the last one on this list. He's 25 years old. His ERA was really good, 2.28. Only pitched 27.2 innings. Had a very low ground ball to fly ball ratio at 0.54. But surprisingly didn't let up that many home runs. And I think that's because the innings were limited. But I still like him because he's a young guy and you can develop him for the future. Look for him to be in the rotation starting this upcoming season in April. So that's kind of a look at, you know, the top players for the Phillies. But there's still a lot of holes. They need a guy at first base. They really need a future catcher because Rupp's good, but you also need a backup there because that's a position that's going to see wear and tear. You got guys like Howie Kendrick is projected to be the starting left fielder, and that's never good because Howie Kendrick, as much as he has the experience, is not the player he once was. His average is low. His on-base is low. His slugging is low. He can field well in left field, but for a guy who had a 0.5 WAR last year and you're paying him $10 million, he's a guy you just don't need out there, and you can find a younger guy to replace him. Somebody that the Phillies acquired that really might benefit them is Michael Saunders, though. He was an all-star with Toronto last year, and while his average was low at 253, his on-base was 338, and his slugging was 478 with 24 home runs. He drew 59 walks, so patient at the plate, and when he hits it far. That's what that tells me. But he had a 1.3 WAR, and he's 30 years old. That's going to be the one red flag there. As he's getting older, he's kind of past his prime. Are we going to start seeing him decline? But really, he's hit his peak last year. That was his best year ever. So look for him to maybe make some more impact in there. What's going to kill me is first base when they have Tommy Joseph. Tommy Joseph, really nothing crazy except for his slugging percentage is at 505. So when he hits it, he had 21 home runs and a 0.5 WAR. So really all he does is hit it far. They need to upgrade there because you can't just put a guy out there because he can hit the ball far if he's not going to get on base. He had 21 home runs, but he only had about 40 RBIs. And some of that has to do with the fact that nobody's getting on base, but part of that has to do with the fact that the only time he's really hitting anyone in is when he's hitting home runs. He's not a situational guy. He's not doing a lot to benefit them. And so, yeah. But we're sitting at 129, so that's really all the time I have right now. So we'll actually continue to talk about the Phillies next week. We'll look at some potential free agents. We'll look, see if they make any moves. Recently, they did sign Ryan Hannigan, so I will talk about that because I like that move a lot. But for now, that's the Phillies, a really bad team with some potentially really great young players. And so thank you for listening to me. I'm sorry if you didn't want to listen to me, and I'm on anyway. But come on, tune in next week, Stats with Sam, 1 o'clock on Tuesdays. Thank you so much for listening.